Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Mike Kliss on, our 9 News Bronco insider, which led to a flurry of texts on the RonMassad.com text line, 303-713-1043. How about this one? You got egg on your face, stinkers. Clearly, San Francisco did not have one guy in mind when they traded up. Told you so, island my butt.
That is... Okay, because this is the one time an organization didn't lie to you guys. They've been lying... They lied through the entirety of the process. So now all of a sudden, this is the one time they told the truth. I know you're not that dumb. I know you're not that stupid. They went up specifically for a guy. By the way, they said there's no way, you know, in the same breath, remember, 4 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, they said, hey, Jimmy Garoppolo is here for the long run. Yesterday, they said, I don't know if anybody's going to be alive on Sunday. I mean, we all might die. You're not. Come on, Mickey. You can't be that dumb.
Oh, how'd you know it was Mickey?
Well, stinkers. You cannot. You honestly can't be. Man, I know you're smarter than this. Yeah, so. Jimmy Garoppolo, now all of a sudden, the asking price has come down. Now he's available, potentially available. When 4 weeks ago, he's our quarterback. Come on, stop. Stop with the nonsense. That's nonsense.
Well, here's why that's silly. And I think it is. It is so funny. Everybody agrees that this is the lying season, that if anybody's lips are moving, they're lying. But this is the gospel truth. So, okay, I'll play along. So, let's say they like five quarterbacks. Then why'd they move all the way up to three? Why'd they give up so much?
Yeah, they could have kept another draft pick.
To move up to number three. If they would have been happy with any of the five,
they could
trade up to seven.
Yeah, they could have gotten
one. Trade up to nine with the Broncos, whatever. Trade up to eight. I mean, you wouldn't have had to give up nearly as much. You could have saved yourself a lot of draft capital if you were happy with any of the five.
If any of the five were your guy, you're right. Because you know Cincinnati's not taking one. They took one last year.
They gave up their 2021, 2022, and 2023 first-round picks to get to number three this year.
Right, because they love all five.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Go on.
The overall stupidity of that comment. Is, I mean, it's...
Be nice.
But it's just stupid. They moved up for one guy. Now, it doesn't mean they haven't studied everybody. Now, just to affirm what they wanted, you know, just to affirm it. But, and I guarantee you this, there are guys within that organization that have a difference of opinion. And you know what, Mike? That's healthy. I hope there's a bunch of guys in that room that have a different, like, have studied a bunch of film and all have a little bit different of a different opinion. Because you know what? That's healthy for an organization to have some discord, to have some discussions and a little bit of argument. When one guy just goes, no, this is who I like, we're going to do this without ever listening to anybody else's opinion, that's not a healthy environment. You don't build a great football team without some discord, without some argument.
I like this text. We need Sonny from draft day to tell George Payton to put a note in his pocket. Parsons, no matter what.
I have Adam Schefter from ESPN on the line. He heard a rumor.
Oh, great. Tell Schefter to stick his rumor up.
Sonny.
I think I'm going to have to, as part of my exhaustive draft preparation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I am going to watch draft day one more time right before the draft starts.
It's a great, you know,
just to understand that
it's a great,
no matter what kind of moves up and down, make sure you come away with this guy.
Yes. Yes. No matter what. No matter what, Mike. You're 100% right.
Hey, we're giving you a chance to win MLB The Show 21 giveaway. I can tell you, my son got this recently, and he absolutely loves it. And I've had it. I'm not a big video game player, but I had a chance to watch him playing it. It is. Yeah. Oh my goodness, it is amazing. The graphics.
Those games are
so
amazing.
It's fun for hardcore or casual baseball fans. You get to play all 162 games, or just drop in for the biggest moments to the postseason. MLB The Show 21 is now out on both PlayStation and Xbox consoles. Create your own dream team in Diamond Dynasty with your favorite legends and current stars. We're going to be giving away a free copy on PlayStation or Xbox. All you have to do to enter is register for the free Denver Sports Daily, our daily newsletter with news columns, game recaps, and more. You can sign up now at denverfan.com, and that gets you in the running to win MLB The Show 21. Good luck. Coming up next, Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN and FOS tells us whether or not the Broncos should be drafting a quarterback or not, and who it is next. Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com. Always enjoy gaining a FOS, a friend to stink on, as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft. And who better as we try to sift through all this quarterback madness than ESPN's Tim Hasselbeck, former NFL quarterback. He joins us now. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Can you loosely define friend, please?
Yeah, loosely. We worked together for a couple of years.
pass each other occasionally in the halls.
Tolerated for a decade, whatever you want to say.
Exactly. Yeah, like yes. Hey, walk me through. You know, everybody sits here and talks about the quarterback class, and you know, and I'm a big believer in. And, you know, drafting great football players, obviously putting it really hard to come in and play quarterback if you don't have a great team around you. But looking at this quarterback class, Tim, a lot of people want them to go after Fields or go after Trey Lance or whoever's available. Just kind of give us those three guys that look like they'll be available potentially in from three to beyond. What do you think of those guys?
Here's what I think of. I think Justin Fields is the second best quarterback in this draft class. I went into watching him thinking I would see, you know, guys that have come out of that program, you know, recently. So like the Cardale Jones type or Dwayne Haskins, a guy who I really was not a fan of when he was coming out. And so, but what I saw was a completely different player. Like I think Justin Fields I think he's a really good passer, and I think he's an incredible runner. And I think in some ways, he kind of has this like Cam Newton skill set, and people need to remember, like when Cam came into the league, like, yes, he kind of had this idea of being a run first, you know, quarterback because of his size and, you know, he's an excellent goal line runner, you know, even when he kind of came into the NFL, but he also threw for like 4,000 yards as a rookie. So, I think Justin Fields has got that type of talent and knows how to play the position. You know, Trey Lance is a guy that's got crazy, crazy athletic ability. And I think in a lot of ways, in terms of a natural thrower and stuff, you can feel like, wow, this guy could really, really project to being a good player. I think the challenge for me on Lance is that, look, he played at North Dakota State, and because of quarterbacks that have come out of North Dakota State in recent years, so Wentz or Easton Stick, I've seen a ton of North Dakota State football, and look, they are the Alabama of who they play against. They get guys wide open. They run it down everyone's throat nearly every single week. Like, they just dominate at that level, and Lance is essentially just a better athlete than guys at that level. So, like, he's running through linebackers, and it's just, in some ways, it's hard to get a good evaluation. You just know that he athletically is superior, than the guys that he's playing against. So, you know, I think, you know, that's kind of how I see those guys. And then what you're asking about Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac Jones,
too. The other guys? Yeah, and so I think the thing with Mac Jones is I generally favor the drop-back quarterback guy. I believe in order to have success in the NFL, you have to be able to pass from inside the pocket, no matter all the other stuff that you can do. That being said, I think that there's athletic deficiencies in Mac Jones's, you know, game when you consider, you know, the first half of the first round. Like, he's a guy that really doesn't move well at all, doesn't throw great on the move. And I think that that's what's hard for me when I'm thinking, wait a second, the Niners maybe moved up 9 spots to get a guy that athletically doesn't move great. And then everyone's like, well, hey, Tom Brady doesn't move. It's like, well, yeah, Tom Brady's 40. So he came into the league in a different generation, and he's the greatest draft outlier ever. So, like, you know, for every, you know, Tom Brady, like, you know, I'll give you a Chris Redmond or, you know, Trent Edwards or Jimmy Clausen or Brandon Whedon. Like, I don't think that you can draft based on, well, hey, Tom Brady can't move. So that's how I see these guys. I think in many ways they're very different, but for me, like, look, if I'm mid there at Denver and it's true that Fields is going to be the guy that drops, that'd kind of be incredible.
Let me ask you this. You played for Pat Shurmur, and I've heard people say, well, Pat Shurmur, it's a Mac Jones fit or it's a Justin Fields fit. You know Pat Shurmur. How would he adjust to getting a guy like Fields, and how do you think he would manage the quarterback position in that regard?
Yeah, I think the thing that's always struck me about Pat is that, listen, he's, you know, still from that, like, West Coast tree. So what he really believes in, I think, is timing and playing fast and in a rhythm and, you know, not getting stuck holding the football, waiting for things to develop. Like, I think that's just naturally in the DNA of Pat. I also think that, look, he's a former college offensive lineman. Like, he believes in being able to run the football and the stuff that comes off of running the football. So I just think that, like, you know, as he's, you know, evolved as a coach, I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, that's still where everything starts for him. So, and I think the other thing he, you know, has had a history of is not making things too difficult. And I think it's one of the things, like, for example, you know, talking about the Niners, that Kyle Shanahan does a really good job of is, look, let's run something that we're really good at, and let's run it out of 30 different formations, you know, or a few different personnel groupings. And so, you know, I think in that regard, you know, for all of these guys, I think that's a real benefit. I think the guy that it would benefit the least is Mac Jones, just because, again, you know, the – you know, lack of athleticism when you compare him to the other guys.
Busy with ESPN's Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, do you hold out much hope for Drew Lock?
Here's what's interesting. I really liked Lock coming out. I know that there were people that kind of felt like he was going to be a first-round draft pick. He's super talented. And what's interesting is, you know, Denver obviously wants competition for him, right? Like, the Broncos are like, look, we want to push this guy. We want to, you know, have the best pulled out of him. I just don't know that drafting a quarterback in the top 10 right, ever pulls the best out of him. It replaces him. So, I find this kind of a tricky spot, you know, for Denver. It's like, yes, you want the competition, but drafting somebody in the top 10, they're not competing. At that point, you've just made a decision.
Yeah, totally agree. I'm with you on that. All right, Tim, man. Listen, all the best to you. Appreciate you. We look forward to continue to watch you on ESPN cover this draft.
Hey, wait, listen. Time zones stink. I know you're from Alaska. Okay, but here's how it goes. Okay, time zone.
Okay.
Okay, Central's 1 hour after East Coast, okay? Then 2 hours for Mountain Time. The West Coast, 3 hours, okay? And then if you're from Alaska or something like that, just don't even bother.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I at least once a week screw up a time zone that I'm supposed to do on a radio show. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you.
See you guys.
Tim Hasselbeck.
Yeah, I told him... I think I told him at 8:15. I was thinking 8:15 Eastern, 6:15, which is 7:15 his time because he's on Central time. He lives in Nashville, so it just is.
Stink being stink.
Yeah.
Our thanks to Tim Hasselbeck. Good stuff. What a breakdown. There you go.
Yeah.
A great breakdown on all three of those quarterbacks. Your thoughts? Hit us up. Ramelsaw.com text line. We've got four down territory. Hey, enjoy the draft this weekend because an NFL coach says it could all be over on Sunday. I mean, everything.
Yes.
Done. Over.
It'll be over.
Over and out. Four down territory next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is four down territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
Now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I haven't.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday. So that goes for all of us.
A macabre take on the future of Jimmy Garoppolo from Kyle Shanahan. Saying, hey, I don't know if he's going to be with us. I can't guarantee any of us will be here beyond Sunday. Why Sunday, Kyle Shanahan? Have you been talking to the Incas?
Yes. He's got a Mayan calendar in his back pocket. A little bit nervous right now.
What does he know?
I don't know. I mean, none of us know who he's going to take, but he seems to know when the end of the world is going to happen here.
Well, apparently he's ready to take 1 of 5.
Yes.
You buy that?
Yeah, absolutely. 1 of 5. Any 5. And again, the best point, you brought this point up earlier in the show. If any of the 5 will do, why would you move up to 3 and cost yourself an extra first rounder? Well, it's 7. You know, Miami isn't interested. You know that Cincinnati isn't interested. So you can move up to the 7 Detroit's pick.
And I already heard from people, well, maybe they got intel. Wait a minute. Well, okay. Move up a certain spot. Move up to 7. Move up to 5, whatever. And if you get more intel... I love that word, intel, that teams are ready to jump ahead of you. Well, no, actually, it doesn't matter. If you move up to 5, you're going to get 1 of 5.
Yeah, Cincinnati, you know they're not interested in a quarterback.
Right.
And they have to build a roster.
Right, so move up to 5.
So you move up to 5 and give them a couple extra, another first rounder or 2 more first rounders. You don't think they're going to and go to 12?
Listen, Kyle.
Stop.
Kyle Shanahan is Mike Shanahan's son. And I say this as one of the highest compliments I can give is someone who's been in this business for 3 decades. Mike Shanahan was great at saying nothing. I mean, Mike Shanahan he'd look you in the eye. He'd give you that eye. You've seen the eye.
Oh, frightening.
Right now, it's sending shivers down my spine.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, master is saying nothing, especially this time of year. By the way, Chris Sims, who is a... FOK, a friend of Kyle.
Yes.
He still thinks 49ers take Mac Jones
right.
Number 3. Next on the 4 down territory.
Second down.
He's such a unique, different player than anyone that I've ever been around. And he affects our organization in so many different ways that you can't value him because he's so important to what we do. So we're excited moving forward, and we'll kind of see where things go.
That is okay. Help me out. How to pronounce this? You want to take a shot at that?
No,
me neither.
What's his first name?
Brian. Sorry, there is too much of a potential minefield.
Right.
Look up the last name. Seriously, Google right now, folks. Google the last name.
Gudenkunst. I think it's how you say it.
Wow, that's as far as I'm going to go. Because that last name is fraught with peril. Anyway,
yes.
He says that Brian G. says that Aaron Rodgers is the Packers quarterback for the foreseeable future. Now, what does that mean? I assume it means beyond Sunday, but what does that mean? He's like, you know, is that right up there? Like, well, he's our quarterback right now. You know, shades of Sean McVay talking about Jared Goff.
He is saying until at least Sunday when the end of the world comes, as Cal predicted. Right, Shanahan. So,
right.
He's the quarterback until Sunday, and then we're all doomed.
Anyway, does that lend a little bit more credence to what we talked about? Some of those rumblings that perhaps Jordan Love could be up for trade?
I don't, like, again, this 'tis the season, right? 'Tis the season. It just, I mean, lie and cheat and do your thing. So,
I don't know. You did a nice job on that guy's name. You want to try that again?
Good. Something like that.
Ah, two Germans.
Yeah.
Next in four down territory.
Third down. Here's Ryan going to put it up for grabs. Jones is wide open for the Atlanta touchdown. Oh, they sold the play fake and then the throwback to the front left pylon and Julio Jones in the end zone on his third touchdown catch of the year.
Falcons radio, some rumblings out there that the Falcons are open to trading Julio Jones. Would that be a mistake?
Would it be a mistake to trade Julio Jones? Julio Jones, a great player. Great leader.
Is he a great player or was he a great player?
No, he's still a monster now. But again, that's not what has cost them, Mike. Their inability to play defense, their inability, you know, being big, fast, and strong is a premium. He is big, fast, and strong. There's no question. So he's a premium player. The problem is they're little on the defensive line. They're little across the board. They're not big, fast, and strong on either line of scrimmage. So you can have all the big, fast, and strong guys outside the numbers that you want to have. If you can't be big, fast, and strong inside on the lines of scrimmage, you're going to get beat in this league. So if you're telling me they're going to move Julio Jones to get bigger on the D-line, to get bigger and better on the O-line, then I'm telling you, that's a better situation for your quarterback when that happens.
I don't know, he's 32. He just came off an injury-plagued season with foot.
He's had several injury-plagued seasons, Mike. That's why I'm saying, would I move him? Absolutely, if I can get bigger.
Always been able to play between 14 and 16 games over the last 6-7 years. It was this year that he really dropped off, only played in 9 games.
Yeah, well,
so
I did
at age 32,
a couple years ago, like he's playing, but he is really
well,
hurt.
But
he was still playing.
Okay, but those 6 years I'm talking about, his worst year was 1,400 yards receiving.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you.
But this year he dropped down to 771 yards.
Right,
so.
In 9 games, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
the guy's an absolute beast. I'm just telling you, the lack of a passing game is not what hurts the Atlanta Falcons. It's their inability to dominate a line of scrimmage on both sides that crushes them. That's why Dan Quinn is no longer coaching. That's why Thomas Dimitroff, who we had on a week ago, is no longer there. And he addressed it, Mike. He addressed it in the draft, but none of those, they just didn't pan out. They didn't make a difference.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down. Shotgun snap. Murray, quick throw to the left side, and it's caught at the goal line and into the end zone for the touchdown is DeAndre Hopkins.
Cardinals radio. Kyler Murray weighing in on the state of the Cardinals says they must master, quote, the little things in order to become a playoff team. And
he's not tall.
Quote, not taking the little things for granted. You know, somebody that has been on the Cardinals beat the last couple of years.
I don't think I did a game last year.
I think you graduated from the Cardinals beat. You're on the Bucks beat.
So the world championship beat.
That's
this year.
Right. Riding there.
Bucks.
Super Bowl.
Buffalo.
Maybe that's not.
I love Tom Brady.
Maybe not a coincidence. You lending your Super Bowl expertise, rubbing off on the Bucks. So anyway, do you see with the Cardinals, a team that's on the cusp, they just need to learn how to win? And is that as simple as it sounds? Hey, we just need to learn how to win.
It's to me, it's just not that simple. Because, again, the problem that you get into when you're talking about Cardinal football is they've got weapons out the yin yang. The problem is in critical situations, in the tough, you know, gotta have it yard situations, they're really not very good. They're not good at imposing in the impose your will aspect of the game, red zone, goal line, short yardage coming off your own goal line. They're not good in those areas. If they can't complete a pass, errant throw, tip ball, they're off the field. And teams that can't dictate in situations where you have to dictate, those teams to me don't win.
Valdo from Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Patrick Saunders, our Rockies insider, joins us to make sense of everything that went down yesterday with the Rockies and Jeff Breidich. And where do they go from here? Patrick fills in all the blanks. That's next. All right, Patrick Saunders, our Rockies insider from the Denver Post, is presented by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. We got a lot of questions for Patrick. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. What led to the stepping down of Jeff Breidich? What do you know?
Well, you know, I worked yesterday trying to talk to as many people who would talk about it. And for not being able to piece together this conversation between Breidich, Dick Monfort, Greg Fiesel, was going on for a week or so. And essentially it came down to, from what I've been told, I think Jeff was burned out, one. I don't know if there was a tipping point. Now, there wasn't some sort of big fight or anything like that, but they just came to the mutual conclusion that this just wasn't working out. Maybe Jeff didn't have the energy to keep doing this anymore. And the team wanted to go in another direction. Now, my speculation, and this is speculation on my part, is I think Dick Monfort was still making most of the major decisions about this. Breidich probably felt that, you know what, I'm taking a lot of heat for this, but I don't have as much power or money spending as I would like to. And I'm in a no-win situation. Now, that's my take on it. But there was not a huge blowout, nothing like that. It's just time for a change, and I think Jeff was burned out.
For all the slings and arrows and abuse that Jeff Breidich took over the Nolan Arenado deal, is he a sympathetic figure in this? Was it Jeff Breidich's move, or was this entirely ordered by Dick Monfort?
Well, I wouldn't say it was entirely ordered by Dick Monfort. I mean, Jeff Wright's played a huge role in the Arenado situation because, obviously, the rift between the organization and Nolan Arenado came down to a clash of personalities and the way Jeff Wright handled the whole situation. I mean, that really triggered a lot of this. So he certainly is not, you know, cleansed of any blame for what happened with Nolan. But to answer your basic point, the ultimate decision to trade Nolan was Dick Monfort's. It was Dick Monfort who said, okay, this isn't going away. We need to move Nolan. Jeff, it's your job as GM. Just go see if you can make a trade. But the root of all this was two-sided. One, Nolan clearly wanted out, even though he was getting all that money. But one of the major reasons Nolan wanted out is he didn't like Jeff, and Nolan just didn't like the direction of the franchise.
Let me ask you, what happens next? Obviously, Greg Fiesel takes over as president, but what happens next in so much as where do they go GM-wise? How do they restructure this franchise?
Well, as you mentioned, Greg Fiesel takes over as president, and from everything it we've been told, that seems like a long-term appointment. It's a head-scratcher in my book. Greg Fiesel's been with the organization for a long time, so he knows it in, inside, and out. But he's not a baseball guy. He has a football background. He's an insider. I've always thought the Rockies need to bring in an outsider for that role, but that's kind of the way the Rockies do things. I hope we get a chance to talk to Fiesel here in the next couple of days and see what his vision is and let him present himself. But from what I understand, you know, he's going to be the president for a while. Now, in terms of the general manager, there is going to be an interim GM until the end of the season. At least that's what the Rockies are saying. My guess is I'm almost certain it's going to be an internal candidate for the interim GM. That'll probably be Zach Rosenthal, who's an assistant GM, is kind of the money guy for the Rockies. John Weil, who I think is a very sharp guy, is a player personnel guy. He could be a candidate. And then also a longtime head scout, Bill Schmidt. He's been around forever, too. He could also be an internal candidate, although that would be a lot on his plate because they have the draft coming up, too, around the All-Star break. So those are the three I think would most likely be the interim GM. And then the Rockies say at the end of the year they'll find a permanent GM. And who that's going to be, I really don't know.
All right, so Patrick, what for all of us who are just thirsting for a fresh approach, somebody to come in with a new way of doing things and not simply continuing the failed Dan O'Dowd and now Jeff Breidich model, the likelihood, the percentage that you would put of them actually going out and giving it to somebody from the outside, where would you put it at?
I'd say pretty high.
Really?
Good. Yeah, I really do. I think for a GM, you know, unless somehow the Rockies turn the season around, which I don't see, I think the likelihood of them going outside and getting a GM is pretty high. Now, the question then becomes, if they do that, and I know a lot of people are saying, oh, bring in Theo Epstein. I don't think that's going to happen.
But well, not with Jeff Fiesel there. Yeah, I mean, you do so with Theo. You're giving him the keys to the whole organization.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And that's what my point was going to be, is that if you go outside and you get somebody, a quality, sharp, innovative, you know, change the course of the string kind of GM, they're going to want some autonomy, right? Because I've heard the name Thad Levine bandied about, who's with the Twins and who basically cut his teeth with the Rockies organization. Bright, smart young guy, knows how to win without a ton of money, et cetera. But anybody who's really going to be a difference maker, in my opinion, is going to want some sort of autonomy. And so, is Dick Monfort and Greg Fiesel going to allow them to have that autonomy? I would hope so, but I don't know the answer to that now. But I do think, you know, whoever it is, I do think it's going to be from outside the organization.
All right, as we let you go, will the Rockies ever win a road game? Go.
Oh, my God, last night was awful. I don't know if you guys stayed up for it, but that was, you know, I don't know if it was the baseball gods or karma or whatever, so here's Austin Gomber, right, the lefty who's actually pitched pretty well outside of last night in the first game. But he's the centerpiece, if you will, of the Nolan deal, right? And so the day that Jeff Breidich resigns, Gomber goes up one and two-thirds innings and just gets hammered. So I don't know if that was karma or what was going on there. But, man, the Rockies, I'm thinking this, guys, on the road this year, now it's a small sample size, seven games, but on the road, the Rockies have averaged 1.6 runs per game. At home, it's something like 6.6 or something like that. I mean, the difference between this team and the road team is, well, we see this a lot, almost every year. It's crazy. But boy, did they get blasted last night.
Oh, well,
yeah, it's sympathetic because they love Breidich so much.
You'll appreciate this. You'll appreciate this. We had Troy Rank on yesterday. Troy said, he goes, I've never seen in all my years of covering baseball a team come off a winning homestand and carry absolutely no momentum out onto the road.
that's true. And a 12-2 win yesterday with a grand slam and everything was
Nothing.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Nothing. No momentum. Yeah. No carryover whatsoever. All right, Patrick.
The first three batters strike out. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, oh, well, there it goes.
Yep. Yeah. I've seen that before. All right, Patrick, thank you.
Okay, guys.
Patrick Saunders, our Rockies insider from the Denver Post, presented by Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. That, to me, out of two things that I take away from that chat. One, if he was really this burned out, Jeff Breidich, why didn't you see that potential coming, and why were you leaving a monumental move like the Nolan Arenado move? Why were you leaving it in his hands?
Well,
if you thought he was burned out, on top of the fact that this was the guy that went a long way in poisoning the relationship between the Rockies and Nolan Arenado, why couldn't you see the potential of this coming down the road and remove this obstacle before it led, first of all, to Nolan Arenado having to be traded, and then this is the guy who's making the trade?
Yeah. Well, I would say this. You didn't. Like, why are you burned out? Why do you get burned out? It's not the work that burns you out. It's the situation of the work that burns you out. If you're doing something that you're passionate about, Mike, it energizes you. You don't burn out. You energize from that, right? When you're doing something, I tell you, and this is just working with you or working at Fox, I'm energized by getting up even when I have 4 hours of sleep to talk about the Broncos. I'm energized even when when I'm traveling around the country because I get to talk about the National Football League. Like it's the lifeblood that courses through my veins. It energizes. Even when I'm tired, I'm energized. But if you're trying to do your job and you're hamstrung and you're handcuffed because your owner is circumventing your authority and isn't giving you the opportunities and you have to take the heat for it, that's what drains you. So you don't, as an owner, you don't see that burnout. You know why? Because you are the burnout. You're what's causing the burnout.
Okay, if Jeff Breidich really cared about this franchise, then he should have been, he is a brain surgeon after all,
right.
Should have been smart enough to understand the blowback that would have come from this Nolan Arenado deal. And gone to Dick Montfort and said, I know how this is going to play out. I don't want right. to. I'm already burned out, and this is only going to burn me out more.
Well,
he should have taken himself out of the equation.
There's a lot of things, you know.
Once he realized, look, I am partly responsible for the relationship between Nolan and this team right now, and then you're going to ask me to make the trade. I'm going to get all the blame for it. I don't want to be a part of that.
I'm not absolving him. There are many, many things he's done incorrectly. One is just his arrogant, you know, and say what you will. And, you know, he could come on and he could argue this or whatever. He's, you know, it's like Bobby Boucher. He doesn't have what you call the social skills, right? Like, you can sit there and say, well, I'm not arrogant. I am. But you come off that way. And perception becomes reality in those situations. And so, you know, all those things are his fault. Those things are his issue. The fact that you're too proud, you're too arrogant, or you just are so socially inept that you can't go and build a bridge between you and Nolan Arenado, that you can't offer some type of olive branch, that's a you problem. So, I'm not absolving him from all the issues. A lot of the issues are his issues, but I'm not absolving the organization. I'm not just going, it's all Breidich. Wipe my hands.
Right.
That's like the Broncos blaming coaches.
Right.
Oh, it's that offense. It's Mike McCoy. He doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, it's, you know, it's Billy Moose. He doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, well, it's certainly Scangarello. That's why we're only averaging 17 points a game. Now we'll get Shermer. Now we'll be 30 points a game. Oh, we're only 17 still. Well, it's got to be at some point. Somebody else has a piece of the pie when it comes to the blame situation. And this is the Rockies.
This text, Dick Montfort is Jerry Jones without the money and charisma.
I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.